You're listening to On Leadership with Atlanta Business Chronicle, supported by JLL. See a brighter way.
I think to be a good leader, you have to be a good listener.
You really have to meet people where they are.
Everybody had something to teach me.
You're doing this job, you got to have fun.
It's about moving the mission forward.
On this podcast, you'll hear from top Atlanta business leaders about industry, innovation, and lessons on achieving success. I'm your host, Crystal Edmondson. Today on Leadership.
If I'm not working to help increase opportunity for people, I'm just not using the experience that the world has given me to its fullest.
That's Kyle Wade. He's president and CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank. Earlier this year, the organization hit a milestone, distributing its 1 billionth meal. It doesn't do the work alone. Kyle says they have a network of 700 nonprofit partners in the region that it supplies with food to get to residents in need. Food banks are often a barometer for whether a community has enough to eat. So I ask Kyle, how's Atlanta doing when it comes to food insecurity?
If you take the long view, over the last decade, we've actually seen rates of food insecurity decline across North Georgia and really across the country. A decade ago, we were kind of coming out of the Great Recession, and there was just a tremendous amount of food insecurity, about 900,000 people across the 29 counties we serve. The food bank had not grown our capacity. That was a decade ago. Today, there are about 600,000 food insecure people. So we've seen a pretty big decline in that number. And a number of things have contributed to that. Of course, the economic recovery coming out of the recession. We've had some important changes to federal nutrition programs that have helped. We had the massive public-private response to the pandemic. And then the food bank and emergency feeding programs have really grown our capacity. So we've quadrupled the amount of food we provide to the community over the last 10 years. So long view, things have gotten better. In the immediate term, we're actually feeding as many people today as we did during the height of the pandemic. Families across North Georgia have been really impacted by inflation. And that has occurred at the same time that a lot of the stimulus programs that were put in place during the pandemic have been discontinued. And so low to moderate income families are really kind of in harm's way right now. And that's reflected in the number of people coming to the food bank. We're serving 200,000 households a month. And that's really at record levels.
200,000 households a month. As you see and you hear about some policy changes, you know, programs coming to an end, how do you prepare internally for those changes that are coming down the pike?
When we see those kind of big changes coming, what we have to start thinking about is how do we go out and source more food to get into the system? How do we work with our network of partners? We have about 700 partners that we supply with food, who then get that food to local to people in their local community. How do we help work with those partners so they can be open more hours, be open more days, and just increase access and frequency of distribution for the people who are going to need that help? We reach out to our donors to help us with that. We reach out to our food suppliers. We reach out to government officials, all to make the case, hey, look, you know, we got a tsunami coming and we're going to need help. Now, the other part of that, too, is we're also advocating with leaders when programs work, let's not discontinue them. So the child tax credit had the biggest impact on reducing child poverty in this country as any initiative has had in decades. And we certainly hoped that it was going to be continued. When it wasn't, we saw almost an immediate overnight increase in traffic to our food pantry network. Because it made such a big difference in helping people access food.
Yeah, so advocating on both sides, preparing when you see policies that are running the course, they're going to end soon, but then also letting letting leaders know, hey, this is actually working. Let's keep this going. Yeah. The Atlanta Community Food Bank hit a milestone recently. You all have distributed more than a billion meals. Talk about what makes that possible.
Yeah, that was a really kind of sobering and exciting milestone that we passed. So, you know, the food bank started, was founded in 1979 in the basement of St. Luke's Episcopal Church. And now we operate out of the largest food bank facility in the country. It's a 350,000 square foot facility. We have 75,000 square feet of freezer cooler space in our building. We do more than 400,000 pounds of food a day out the door. And so just the growth in scale is incredible. And the story that tells is less about kind of the operational wizardry of the food bank. I mean, there's some of that, but it's more about how the community has come together to really build this incredible infrastructure to increase food access for people in need across our community.
You mentioned how the food bank got started, 1979. It was founded by Bill Bowling. You succeeded Bill in 2015 as president and CEO. But I want to ask you, what leadership tips do you have for other CEOs who are following a founder as they then forge their way forward for the organization?
In my case, you know, Bill has been a tremendous partner to me and a mentor to me. We have a great relationship. We see each other all the time. You know, founder transitions are challenging. You know, you're trying to make a mark. You're trying to be your own person. And there's no doubt that there's some ego that gets wrapped up into some of that. And so being willing to really listen and learn from the founder was really important in my case. I didn't always do a great job of it, but I think, you know, I did enough of it where I, you know, overcame the moments when I didn't. And, you know, and I think humility is a huge part of it too, like recognizing that there is a unique role that Bill can play for the food bank that I will never be able to play. Being accepting of that and then finding ways to really leverage it and, take advantage of it. There's just, there are places where having Bill be a spokesman for the food bank, especially in those early days was really, really helpful. And, so I had to, figure out, I just had to learn that lesson of humility and how to really, include Bill and engage him in ways that were really beneficial to me and to the organization.
So let's pause here for a sponsor break, and then we'll talk more with Kyle Wade, president and CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
Support for On Leadership comes from JLL. JLL is a leader in commercial real estate leasing, management, investment, and technology. Together with their clients, JLL is committed to building a more sustainable future for all. Learn more at JLL.com. JLL, see a brighter way.
We're back with Kyle Wade, president and CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank. How did you become interested in this particular problem of food insecurity, poverty, and the like?
Yeah, well, I think that really starts with kind of how I grew up. I was a public school kid growing up in the South, small towns. I moved around a lot as a kid. And I think in particular, one thing that did for me positively is it made me a good observer of systems, you know, and communities, you know, cause I was always kind of a little outside the community. There's a downside to that too, but you know, this is not a therapy session. This is the leadership podcast, but you know, the upside of that is it made me observer. And so I think it was just impossible for me to ignore, you know, because I saw the same pattern in multiple communities. And race had a lot to do with it. That wasn't the only factor, but in the South, it was a dominant factor. You know, these kids over here have these opportunities. They get this kind of discipline at school. They get these kind of treatment out in the community. And these kids over there, it looks very different. And so it just was something that was so obvious to me at a pretty young age that it was just hard for me to ever kind of stop thinking about it. And then, you know, I had the opportunity in college to go to Harvard. I was one of three kids from the state of Mississippi my graduating year of high school to go to Harvard. And, you know, when you go there, you just see a whole nother world of disparity in the kind of life experiences people bring with them to an educational setting. And, you know, just to compare some of those kids and how they grew up in elite private school kind of communities in the Northeast to the kids growing up in public housing complexes back home in Mississippi. And it's just like, man, what are we doing here? Like, this is just so not fair. And so, I don't know. There wasn't like a single moment where it's like, okay, this is the thing I want to devote my life to. But it just has always been there, like just sort of a knot in your stomach that if I'm not working to help increase opportunity for people, I feel like I'm just not using the experience that, you know, the world has given me to its fullest in the way that I should.
So people may not realize this, but the food bank really is about more than just distributing food. Can you talk a little bit about the role that the food bank plays, the broader role?
It's really about helping families build stability, to take food insecurity off the table as a need, so that they can really go out and, you know, pursue their aspirations.
Remove one of those barriers that they face.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have enough food on your table, it's really hard to be thinking about, well, how am I going to save for college, or how I'm going to, you know, plan for that job training program I want to go to, or how am I going to get my kid into this enrichment program? Like, you can't think about that kind of stuff when you're worried about how am I going to get food, you know? And then, of course, in addition to that bandwidth that we're trying to help individual families have more of, you know, it's also our job at the food bank to really be advocates out in the community. You know, that's true in advocacy in Washington, and we've got a farm bill coming that needs to be renewed this year that will dramatically impact nutrition access for families. And not just in terms of public policy. It's also our job to help just tell the story of the challenges the families we serve face, and to give private sector companies ideas for how they can help remove some of those barriers for the people that work for them.
As you look ahead, what's in store in the next, say, 12 months or so? Where do you see the Atlanta Community Food Bank going? Are there new programs that you're launching? Tell us a little bit about the future and what it holds.
As we go forward, we are really focused on how can we continue to lean into this idea that we are helping create opportunity for the families that we're serving, and that we are adding bandwidth and resources to the families we're serving. And to get there, we think what we really got to do is transform the experience that people have in accessing food from our network. So instead of, you know, going to a food pantry distribution and waiting in a line and filling out paperwork on a clipboard and kind of not really knowing what's going to be there, what we are going to need is an experience where it's super convenient and consistent and frequent, and that people can really count on it and plan around it, right? Where they can make an appointment on a mobile device and show up at a pantry at their appointed time. They can get in and out in 15 to 30 minutes. If they have to fill out paperwork, they could have done that ahead of time on an electronic device in the privacy of their own home, just like many of us do when we're doing stuff today. They can order stuff before they get there, kind of a buy online, pick up in store sort of experience. They can give us feedback. They can tell us, you know, hey, we need to see more of this type of food at these pantry locations because it's really important for our community to have access to, a particular type of food, maybe that's particularly relevant culturally to certain communities. So transforming that neighbor experience to promote more frequent, consistent, convenient access will give more families more opportunity, more bandwidth, more resources to pursue their aspirations. And that will help further reduce food insecurity in our community. Over the next 5 years, we intend to distribute more than $1 billion worth of food and resources in our community. Over the next 5 years, we expect that there will be about 10 million neighbor visits to our pantry network that we want to support as we make those visits more frequently available. We're going to continue to enhance the mix and variety of the food that we're distributing to ensure that people can really get a full assortment of what they need to support their families.
Well, Kyle Wade, it sounds like you have a real plan looking forward for how to continue to serve the Atlanta region as president and CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today about what you all have been doing and what you look to continue to do in the years to come. Kyle Wade, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks to the community here in Atlanta and North Georgia. They have been so generous to us, and we just every day go to work wanting to make our community proud and to help give our community an opportunity to make a difference.
Every little bit helps. The food bank is also feeling the effects of inflation, just like you and me. While more than half of its food is donated and a portion comes from government programs, Kyle says they're spending close to $2 million a month buying food from a variety of sources, including local farmers and wholesalers. Well, that's it for this edition of On Leadership with Atlanta Business Chronicle, supported by JLL. We want to hear from you. Send us an email at onleadership@bizjournals.com. Listen to more episodes and catch up on local business news and events on our website, atlantabusinesschronicle.com. On Leadership is also part of the WABE Studios podcast network, so you can also listen at wabe.org. I'm Crystal Edmondson. Thanks for listening to On Leadership with Atlanta Business Chronicle.